Our study tonight is out of Jeremiah chapter 36, God's judgment over man's response to Scripture. The Apostle Paul charged Pastor Timothy to preach the written Scriptures in the church since his hearers were to be judged at Christ's coming by the contents of those Scriptures. In fact, Paul was very strong. He said, in view of the coming of Christ, in view of the fact that he's going to judge the living and the dead at his appearing, preach the word. The implication is God is going to hold people accountable for what he's directed in his word. Well, an illustration of this accountability of men to heed written Scripture is provided in Jeremiah 36, the whole chapter 1 to 32, and we view it for our insight and edification. I want to read the chapter and then we'll look at it. Jeremiah chapter 36, beginning at verse 1. And it came to pass in the fourth year of Jehoiakim, the son of Josiah, king of Judah, that this message came unto Jeremiah from the Lord, saying, Take thee a scroll of a book, and write therein all the words that I have spoken unto thee against Israel, against Judah, and against all the nations, from the day that I spoke unto you, from the days of Josiah, even to this day. That's a 22-year period of time. It may be that the house of Judah will hear all the calamity which I will purpose to do unto you, to them, that they may return every man from his evil way, that I may forgive their iniquity and their sin. Then Jeremiah called Baruch, the son of Neriah, and Baruch wrote from the mouth of Jeremiah all the words of the Lord, which he had spoken unto him upon a scroll of a book. And Jeremiah commanded Baruch, saying, I am shut up. In other words, I am closed up or enclosed. I am not allowed to go into the temple of the Lord. Therefore you go and read in the scroll, which you have written in from my mouth, my dictation, the words of the Lord in the ears of the people in the Lord's house upon the fasting day, and also you shall read them in the ears of all Judah that come in out of their cities to the temple. It may be that they will present their supplication before the Lord and will return everyone from his evil way. For great is the anger and the fury that the Lord has pronounced against this people. And Baruch the son of Neriah did according to all that Jeremiah the prophet commanded him, reading of the book the words of the Lord in the Lord's house. And it came to pass in the fifth year of Jehoiakim, the son of Josiah, king of Judah, in the ninth month, that they proclaimed a fast before the Lord to all the people in Jerusalem and to all the people that came up from the cities of Judah unto Jerusalem. Then read Baruch in the book of the words of Jeremiah in the house of the Lord, in the chamber of Gemariah, the son of Shaphan the scribe, in the higher court, at the entry of the new gate of the Lord's house, in the ears of all the people. When Micaiah, the son of Gemariah, the son of Shaphan, had heard out of the book all the words of the Lord, then he went down into the king's house, and unto the scribe's chamber, and lo, all the princes sat there, even Elishama the scribe, and Deliah the son of Shemaiah, and Elnathan the son of Achbor, Gemariah the son of Shaphan, Zedekiah the son of Hananiah, all the princes. Then Micaiah declared unto them all the words that he had heard when Baruch read the book in the ears of the people. Therefore all the princes sent Jehudi the son of Nethaniah, the son of Shelemiah, the son of Cushi, unto Baruch, saying, Take in your hand the roll thereof, or scroll thereof, that you have read in the ears of the people, and come. So Baruch the son of Neriah took the roll in his hands and came unto them. And they said unto him, Sit down and read it in our ears. So Baruch read it in their ears. Now it came to pass when they had heard all the words, they were afraid. One and the other said unto Baruch, We will surely tell the king of all these words. And they asked Baruch, saying, Tell us now, how did you write all these words at his dictation? Then Baruch answered them, Jeremiah pronounced all these words to me with his mouth, and I wrote them with ink in the book. Then said the princes unto Baruch, Go hide yourself, you and Jeremiah, and let no man know where you are. And they went into the king, unto the court, but they laid up the scroll in the chamber of Elishama the scribe, and told all the words in the ears of the king. So the king sent Jehudi to fetch the scroll, and he took it out of Elishama the scribe's chamber. And Jehudi read it in the ears of the king and in the ears of all the princes which stood beside the king. Now the king sat in the winter house in the ninth month, and there was a fire on the hearth burning before him. And it came to pass that when Jehudi had read three or four leaves, King Jehoiakim would cut them with the penknife and cast it into the fire that was on the hearth, until all the roll was consumed in the fire that was on the hearth. Yet they were not afraid, nor rent their garments, neither the king nor all of his servants that heard all these words. Nevertheless, Elnathan and Delaiah and Gemariah had made intercession to the king that he would not burn the roll, but he would not hear them. But the king commanded Jeremiel, the son of Hamelech, and Sarai, the son of Atriel, and Shelemiah, the son of Abdeel, to take Barak the scribe and Jeremiah the prophet. But the Lord had hidden them. Then the word of the Lord came to Jeremiah after that the king had burned the roll, and the words which Barak wrote at the mouth of Jeremiah, saying, Take thee again another scroll, and write it in all the former words that were in the first scroll which Jehoiakim the king of Judah has burned. You shall say unto Jehoiakim the king of Judah, Thus saith the Lord, Thou hast burned this scroll, saying, Why hast thou written therein, saying, The king of Babylon shall certainly come and destroy this land, and shall cause to cease from thence man and beast. Therefore thus saith the Lord of Jehoiakim, king of Judah, He shall have none to sit upon the throne of David. His dead body shall be cast out in the day of the heat, and in the night of the frost. And I will punish him and his seed and his servants for their iniquity. And I will bring upon them and upon the inhabitants of Jerusalem, upon the men of Judah, all the calamity that I have pronounced against them. But they did not hearken. Then Jeremiah took another scroll and gave it to Barak, the scribe, the son of Neriah, who wrote therein from the mouth of Jeremiah all the words of the book which Jehoiakim, the king of Judah, had burned in the fire. And there were added besides unto them many similar words. Interesting passage of scripture. God had Jeremiah write a scroll to be read to Judah to get her to repent, as Josiah did in his era. The Lord had told Jeremiah to write in a scroll all the words that he had given him to preach to the people of Judah since the start of his prophetic ministry 22 years earlier. It starts way back in the days of King Josiah and all the way up to Jehoiakim, which would have been the second one of the sons of Josiah that was on the throne 22 years earlier. So God hoped that the reading of the scroll would influence the people of Judah to repent of their sins, that they might avoid all the destruction that God planned to bring on them for their sin. Now, why is God doing this through a scroll? Well, God had seen Judah's former king Josiah, Jehoiakim's father, repent upon the reading of the Mosaic Law scroll that was found in the temple. You remember this in 2 Kings chapter 22. They found this scroll. He was just a young king at the time. And they read it to the king. And he had never heard the law of God before. He was totally ignorant. And when he did, he immediately repented. He tore his clothes, which is a sign of sorrow. And then he asked them, and he says, Can you get a hold of a prophet somewhere and find out what we need to do? Because great wrath from God is against this place. So they found out a prophetess, a woman. Apparently the male prophets had... A lot of them had been eliminated, but she was living in the fourth quarter. That would be in the poor section of Jerusalem. And she sent word back that, yes, God is going to judge the city of Jerusalem, but because this king, Josiah, had repented, God was going to do that not in his day, but in the days of kings to follow. So Josiah then caused a tremendous amount of reforms. He busted up all the idols of the land and called for a huge Passover celebration and had a wonderful renewal. So God was hoping that Josiah's son Jehoiakim would respond in similar fashion like his father. Well, Jeremiah had been barred from the temple due to his judgment prophecies, so he sent his scribe Barak to read the scroll there on a fast day held to seek God's intervention due to King Nebuchadnezzar's recent defeat of nearby Philistine Ashkelon and Nebuchadnezzar's big taxation of other Palestine nations. So they were living in fear of Nebuchadnezzar because he'd already attacked and destroyed the city of Ashkelon, the Philistine territory that would be east of them, west of them, southwest of them. And then he was already heavily taxing them. So the people were worried, and when they get worried, they call for a fast and come to the temple. So it was a pretty good time to read the scroll. However, the reading of this scroll gained a mixed response, with King Jehoiakim rejecting it. When Barak read Jeremiah's scroll in the temple, the official Micaiah told other royal officials of its startling contents of judgment, and those officials in turn directed Barak to come to them and read the scroll to them. Well, those officials responded by becoming alarmed at the scroll's message of judgment, as had Micaiah. So they in turn decided to have the scroll read before King Jehoiakim himself. However, Sensing that Jehoiakim might not like the scroll's convicting message, since he himself practiced idolatry, and thus was responsible for influencing the nation to practice idolatry, these officials directed both Barak and also Jeremiah, whom they had learned from Barak had dictated the scroll's contents to him, to hide themselves before the scroll was read to the king. You see, if the king didn't like it, he was going to call for their arrest and possibly their execution. So these officials were concerned about their safety. When Jeremiah's scroll was read before King Jehoiakim, he just cut up leaf by leaf as it was read and threw each leaf into a fire he was using to warm himself on the winter day. The scrolls ahead were like what we see. They were rolled up on two posts like this, and you would read it by rolling these scrolls this way. Well, what the king did is, as the scroll was read, he cut off the piece. And as they just kept coming more pages, they just cut it up until the entire scroll was burned up. And that demonstrated what he thought of the scroll. He didn't like the message, and he didn't take it seriously as being God's word, so he just put it in the fire and used it for burning up and keeping himself warm. Well, some of the officials present urged the king not to destroy the scroll, but he didn't heed them. And other officials present were as unresponsive to the scroll as was the king. You know, it's interesting. Whenever the Bible, whenever the Word of God is read or is exposed to people, you always get a mixed response. It happens everywhere. Anywhere in the world, you get a mixed response. Some people respond positively, some don't. Some are negative, and some are ho-hum. It's not really a big deal. And it's interesting. All of these are reactions to the Word of God. Well, Jehoiakim then ordered that Barak and Jeremiah be arrested, but the Lord had kept them hidden. And this is a fulfillment of God's promise. Remember back in Jeremiah chapter 1, God had told Jeremiah, the people of the land, the kings, the princes, they're all going to fight against you, but I'm with you to deliver you, says the Lord, and to rescue you. And so that's what the Lord was doing. Well, consequently, God directed Jeremiah to get a new scroll and write the message that he had written in the first scroll, and add that though Jehoiakim had burned the first scroll for despising its warnings of judgment for sin, Jehoiakim would be judged by God for his negative response to the reading of the first scroll. As follows, he would have no descendant to rule on David's throne. He would not have a proper burial at death, which is, you know, a big issue in the ancient Near East. And God would bring upon him, his descendants, and his officials the calamitous judgments God had predicted he would bring in the first scroll by Jeremiah. It's interesting. God says, so you think by burning my scroll that that's going to end my word? No. I've spoken my word. My word is going to be held true. You will be held accountable for my word. So, Jeremiah thus obtained a new scroll and dictated the contents of the first scroll to Barak, all 22 years to date, who wrote them in the new scroll, and Jeremiah added many similar words of judgment for sin in the new scroll. It's interesting, when God had first directed Jeremiah to record these things in the scroll, that was in the fourth year of Jehoiakim, in chapter 37. Then later on, it was the next year when he actually read this. There's about a three-month lapse, so to write down the 22 years worth of prophecies, it took apparently 3 months. And that would be just about right. So there takes some time to do this. It's not like getting on a word processor and just typing it out and having spell check. This is by hand. And you're writing Hebrew, it's writing from right to left. And it's very laborious. So though Jehoiakim rejected the reading of the warnings of judgment for sin in God's written word by Jeremiah, in contrast to the repentance of his father, King Josiah, even to the extent that Jehoiakim burned up the scroll in opposing its message, God's word still stood, and it would be fulfilled in Jehoiakim's life. Like Psalm 119, verse 89 in the King James says, "Forever, O Lord, thy word is settled in heaven." So no matter what someone does to a given written copy of God's word on the earth, God still holds one accountable to heed it, as in Jehoiakim's case. And there have been any number of movements, even in the history of the church, where people have tried to get rid of the Bible by burning it. But that doesn't mean that God's word no longer exists. God's word is forever settled in heaven. So, Scripture and application. Scripture is as authoritative as God's spoken words. So we must heed its message lest we suffer discipline and loss of reward at Christ's judgment seat. The passage that I put down there is a very interesting one. And in 2 Timothy chapter 3, we read these verses, beginning at verse 15. From a child thou hast known the holy scriptures, which are able to make thee wise unto salvation through faith which is in Christ. All scripture is God-breathed. That word actually means it carries the authority as though God is speaking the words right now as he's breathing out. See, when you speak, you breathe out. And you breathe over your vocal cords and you make your vocal cords move. And that's how the sound comes. The scripture is as authoritative as though God is speaking it right now. That's what he's saying. All scripture is God-breathed and is profitable for doctrine, reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be mature, literally, thoroughly equipped. That's a passive perfect. That means once for all, permanently equipped. That's a wonderful equipping that God does unto all good works. And then he says, and remember, there are no chapter breaks in the original. I therefore charge you before God and the Lord Jesus Christ, who shall judge the living and the dead as it appearing, preach that word. Be instant in season, out of season, reprove, rebuke, exhort with great patience and careful doctrine. So God is going to hold man accountable for his written word. So you got to pay attention to it. And so may we, like Jehoiakim's father Josiah, wholeheartedly heed scripture. When the Lord called me into the ministry, I wanted to go my own way and do something entirely different. And I thought it would be more impressive to the Lord than just being a pastor. I thought being a pastor, I can't accomplish anything. Well, I went to bed, and there's a verse in the Word of God, First Samuel chapter 15, verse 22, to obey is better than sacrifice and to hearken than the fat of rams. And that verse started to pound through my head. Well, I put my head under the pillow trying to hide it and everything. Wouldn't work. So I got my father up out of bed and I said, Dad, where's that verse that says to obey is better than sacrifice? And he said, go out to the living room, I'll be right out. So I went out to the living room. I found out later that had been his Bible verse that night before going to bed. And so when I brought that up, he knew exactly the Lord was working on me. And so he took me out of the room and he opened up the book and he showed me, he knew exactly where to go because he had the marker right in the Bible where he'd been reading that night. So he opened it up, that passage. And my dad's head bobbed. Now, whenever my dad, in all the years that I'd known him, bobbed, when his head bobbed, he's getting ready to give you a piece of his mind. Or he's getting ready to, you know, give you a critique. And then his head bobbed again. I thought, okay, so I braced, you know, here it comes. He never said anything. And I found out 15 years later that he was trying to say something, but he just couldn't say anything. Apparently, the Lord was saying, this is between me and Don, not you. You showed him the passage, but I want to communicate. When I looked at the verse, it was though someone had taken a magnifying glass, put it over the verse, and drawn it back like that. It was just like, that verse was for me. And it was as if God was actually speaking to me. I think it's interesting because in the ministry, I spend so much of my time studying written scripture. But here's the written scripture. The Lord made it veritably alive to me. And I came under intense conviction. I said, okay. God wants me to obey him. Obeying him means going into the pastor. If that's what he wants, fine, I'll do that. I'm not going to fight the Lord. Uh-oh. So I went back to bed. Later, I told my mom the next day what I'd done, the decision I made. She said, tell your father. And I thought, oh, no, I don't want to tell my dad. Oh, that's going to be so embarrassing. But she said, tell him. I said, okay. So I went and told dad. He was very gracious. And he said, I'm really glad to hear that. And but he told my mom later, he said, I could tell that the Lord was active, the Lord was involved. He shut my mouth and I couldn't say a word. But he knew that the Lord was at work in my heart, and of course I decided to go in the pastorate. So I'll tell you what, The Word of God is powerful. Like Hebrews 4:12 says, it's powerful, it's alive and powerful. It is God's inspired Word, and we are accountable to heed it. So may we heed it.